Welcome to Reading Through Life. This is a weekly podcast by two best friends who have major dreams of living inside a library.
We fully believe that there's no better company than that towering pile of 73 unread novels that you have sitting on your nightstand.
And if we don't get the quiet time to dive face first into a book each day, we get really stabby.
Each week, you'll find a conversation around books and our very different tastes and styles on what we read. I'm Mia, and I'm more of a classic fantasy type of reader who truly believes that books are precious creatures to cherish.
And I'm Sarah, a rom-com family drama type of reader, and I totally dog-ear my books.
We're so glad you're here today. Let's get into the show.
Hello, lovely listeners, and we are glad that you're back for another episode of Reading Through Life.
Today, we're going to do something a little bit different because we want to keep things fresh around here. And instead of sharing book recs, today we want to share some of our favorite quotes from books that we've read.
I am really excited for this one because I love quotes. I collect them in my phone and my journal like a true emo girl. But before we get to our notable quotes, let's check in. Sarah, how are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing? I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm fine. I haven't been feeling super well lately, so then I'm not sleeping super well. So then, you know, during the day, I'm just like, I don't want to do anything, but I have a lot to do. So it's just like a vicious circle of being tired and not having any energy, and I can't seem to get out of it. Plus, the weather is still just very cold here, so I can't like go out without wearing like 30 layers, and that irritates me too, which I realize it's January, and I live in Pennsylvania. I should be used to this, but I am not. So grumpy, which I believe is exactly how I was in our last episode. Yay, 2024.
I love it.
Are you doing better?
I mean, a little, but I feel like I'm just struggling lately because my focus bone is broken. Like, I cannot focus on anything. And I don't know why. Like, normally I'll have like short periods of this, but then it goes away. But this feels like a really long period of just being like, I don't know. I can't sit and do anything. I can't think about anything. Can't complete anything. I'm just like all over the place. So I don't know. I don't know what my problem is, but I'm broken.
Fair enough. We're just, people are like, what is with these two? They're just like downers lately. Sorry. Well, what about something bookish? What do you have for us?
I really have nothing. So I'm just going to shout out our RTL merch. And in case you didn't know, we actually have a merch shop. And there's like coffee mugs in there and stickers. There's long sleeve t-shirt, short sleeve t-shirt, tote bags, just all the things. Go check it out and see if something, you know, catches your eye.
I like it. So for me, I want to talk about a book, and it is The Humans by Matt Haig. This one was published way back in 2014. I think I finished this book at the end of 2023 and then completely forgot to talk about it in our December recap. This has happened to me more than once, so apparently I'm not doing a great job of tracking what I'm reading. But anyway, I gave this book 4 stars, and so I wanted to tell you about it. Professor Andrew Martin has just solved one of math's greatest problems, and because of that, an alien has come to Earth, killed him, and taken over his body in order to destroy all evidence that Andrew has solved the equation. The alien is completely disgusted by Earth, its humans, and our reality, not to mention Andrew's rocky marriage and problematic relationship with his teenage son. But as the alien finds himself more deeply involved with humanity and Andrew's family, he begins to see what hope and beauty in imperfection here on Earth means. I have read a handful of Matt Haig's books now, and this one from 2014 was just as delightful, full of imperfect people, and thought-provoking as all of his other novels. The concept, while perhaps a bit outlandish, brings a wave of empathy to our human experience. We know that we're a flawed species, we're prone to murder and war and fighting and hurting one another. But what Haig does here is also show you the good things about being a human, and this feels like one of those books that found me at the right time. Being a human is really hard right now, and there is also so much beauty to be found right here on Earth. It's definitely a both-and situation. One of my favorite sections in this book is near the end with advice for a human, a long list of advice for Andrew's teenage son. So many of them felt relevant that I wanted to print them out and hang them up around my house as reminders. But my favorite, one that I highlighted and saved to my phone, which goes well with our episode today, says, "New technology on Earth just means something you will laugh at in 5 years. Value the stuff you won't laugh at in 5 years, like love or a good poem or the sky." So I think that this is a book that can restore your faith in your fellow humans. It's definitely silly at times. It made me laugh out loud a couple of times, but also it's really sweet and that you can feel proud of your innate humanness, the flaws and all. So this book is The Humans by Matt Haig.
Okay, that sounds like really pretty and all, but you had me an alien. All you had to say was alien, and I was in.
Because I know that you also do love Matt Haig, I think that you'll really like this one. I think you should read it.
Sounds really good. Okay, so we also have to mention that if you love our show, you should become a patron. It's like an exclusive little book club, except it's filled with bonus episodes, quarterly book chats, and a private Facebook group, and all that jazz.
So if that sounds good to you, head over to patreon.com/readingthroughlifepod and sign up today for just $5 a month, or of course, the link will be in our show notes.
Okay, so let's get to our quotes. We're going to share what the quote is, which book the quote is from, and then like any context behind it or why it stood out to us, and we'll share all of that. So I will go first. My first quote comes from A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara, and it says, "It must be an evolutionary stopgap. If we were all so specifically vividly aware of what might go horribly wrong, we would none of us have children at all." I feel like this is so true. Like in the book, so many horrible things happen to Jude, and it's heartbreaking to think about him, but also all the real life kids that have experienced trauma. But I think personally, it also reminds me of like the hopefulness and protectiveness of being a parent. Like, I don't think anyone is like, oh, I'm gonna have a kid and it's gonna be crap. Like, you know, we all bring our kids into the world thinking that they're gonna learn from our experiences, they're not gonna repeat our mistakes, and that they'll make the world a better place. And so I also think of like the immense joy that my boys bring to my life. And I can't even fathom thinking about anything bad happening to them or I might die. So I feel like this quote is very accurate because yes, we worry about them, but I feel like if we sat there and thought about all the things that could go wrong, nobody would ever have kids because it would just be horrifying.
I don't want to sit here and start thinking about, like, I think we need to move on from this quote because I don't want to start thinking about all the terrible things that could happen to my kids. So I'm going to move on with a quote from one of my very favorite books of all time. Obviously, it's The Idea of You by Robin Lee. And the quote says, "It's art and it makes people happy. And that's a very good thing. We have this problem in our culture. We take art that appeals to women, film, books, music, and we undervalue it. We assume it can't be high art, especially if it's not dark and tortured and wailing. And it follows that much of that art is created by other women. And so we undervalue them as well. We wrap it up in a pretty pink package and resist calling it art." So this, of course, is just one of the many reasons that I love this book. It's not just a love story, but I think it has so much to say about the way that we value art and we value women in this world. And I love that she doesn't shy away from that. She also really talks about aging and how women of a certain age begin to disappear. But I think that this particular quote resonated with me because even just in our reading lives, think about the ways that we undervalue books aimed at women. Like we call it women's fiction, when really it's just fiction. Like, why does it need to be designated just because maybe it's light and happy and has a happy ending? I don't understand that. But when we put that designation on it, somehow it becomes less important and less esteemed. And obviously, I have very big feelings about that. So that is a wonderful quote, I think, and I think it speaks to what we need to pay attention to in our society in terms of what we value and what we don't.
All right, so my next quote comes from Under the Whispering Door by T.J. Clune, and it says, "Hindsight is a powerful thing, Wallace. We don't always see what's right in front of us, much less appreciate it. It's not until we look back that we find what we should have known all along." I feel like this book has so many wonderful quotes about life in general that I could have shared any number of them and it would have been, you know, resonating with someone. But this one stands out to me because I feel like it's so relatable. Like when we're in the thick of life, we don't have the time or the luxury to just sit and ponder the bigger picture. We don't know how our choices are going to turn out right away. But looking back, you know, from some distance of years, we can go, aha, that was where it all went wrong, or that was where I made the best decision of my life. And I sometimes wish that we could have that hindsight up front. Obviously, I know it doesn't work that way, but it just feels like sometimes we can be wasting time pursuing something that later on we might realize is a waste of time. But, you know, that's fine. That's fine. Well, how come all of my quotes are downers this time?
My next quote comes from Hello Beautiful by Anne Napolitano. It says, "When your love for a person is so profound that it's part of who you are, then the absence of the person becomes part of your DNA, your bones, and your skin." And I love this idea of a person being so a part of you, of loving them so completely that without them, it feels like a piece of you is missing. And I think we can feel that in a lot of different relationships in our lives, but I feel it especially, and I'm sure that you do too, with my husband and my kids, because they're just so a part of who I am. My love is so profound for them that, if they're not around, then it feels like a piece of me is missing after a couple of days. Like not right this minute, like while they're at school and work, but like, you know what I mean there.
All right, my next quote kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with the one that you read from The Idea of You. And this comes from More Than You'll Ever Know by Katie Gutierrez. And it says, "One of the cruelest parts of getting old is how unnecessary you become, like a helium balloon released by a child's hand, floating and forgotten, drifting toward the inevitable pop." And I think that the aging process really brings this thought to the forefront, especially if you're a woman. I feel like men can do anything. Like, even when they get older, they get to be distinguished and wise. But, like, women, at least according to our media and society, seem to just become more invisible and irrelevant once their youth and sex appeal seems to fade. So, I don't know. It's kind of sad, but I feel like it's an accurate statement.
Agreed, sadly. My next quote comes from Shark Heart by Emily Habeck, which was my top book of 2023. And the quote is, "He was an aimless kite in search of a string to ground him to the world, but instead he'd found Wren, a great, strong wind who'd supported his exploration of the sky." So first, I can't wait for you to read this book. I'm so excited because just the language in this book is so beautiful. And as a writer, I think you're going to appreciate that. But anyway, I was writing in my newsletter recently about how one of the things I fell for in my husband is that he challenges me. And I think this is along those same lines. Like, he pushes me to be great, he pushes me to take chances. And I think that Ren did the same. She encouraged Lewis to do more and see more and be more rather than encouraging him to stay grounded where it would be easy. I think that there is something to be said for, letting something be easy, but at the same time, I think that some of the best love is when you can be pushed to do more, when your partner really believes that you can do more. And so that's what this reminded me of.
That's very sweet. All right, my next quote comes from After I Do by Taylor Jenkins Reid, and it says, "It's weird how words from the right mouth at the right time can bolster you up and make you strong. They can change your mind, they can cheer you up." And I really believe in this very strongly. Like, words are so powerful, and getting encouragement or support at the right time can really make a difference. I know there are times that I've been so low in the depths of depression, and like, just hearing words of comfort from people that I love was so helpful. So don't ever doubt your instinct to tell people how much they mean to you. It might not seem like they're listening, or it might not seem like it'll do anything, but I promise you it does.
Okay, my next quote comes from The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches by Sangu Mandana. And the quote is, "It's not always enough to go looking for the place we belong. Sometimes we need to make that place." And this quote speaks to me particularly as an adult when it becomes harder and harder to make friends and to find your people. Like, sometimes you just have to carve yourself in and believe that it'll all be okay. Sometimes you have to take the first step in reaching out to somebody in the hopes of forming a relationship. Sometimes you have to make your own community online in order to truly feel like you belong, which, Mia and I have experience with. And I think doing all of those things is really scary, but also really brave, and it comes with a lot of really incredible rewards.
Ditto. All right, my next quote comes from Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin, and it says, "It isn't a sadness, but a joy that we don't do the same things for the length of our lives." And I really love this quote because it highlights how much we all change throughout the course of our lives. Our interests change, our jobs change, our relationships change. But there is beauty to be found in that, and also growth. And I feel like if we were just stagnant for our whole lives and never tried or did anything different, I think it would be kind of a sad existence. So I like this quote.
I agree, even though that book was hard for me. The next quote I have kind of reminded me when you were talking about the Under the Whispering Door quote. And this one comes from The Age of Miracles by Karen Thompson Walker. "How much sweeter life would be if it all happened in reverse. If after decades of disappointments, you finally arrived at an age when you had conceded nothing, when everything was possible." So this is a quote that just, it makes me think. If we got to the end of our life and instead of just thought about how life is over now, that there was nothing left to live for, if instead we started seeing all of the opportunities opening up to us, if like the end of our life was just as sweet as the beginning of life is now, and I wonder what that would do to our behavior and the way that we make choices and the way that we treat people. So I think that that's very interesting to consider.
Right. My next quote comes from The Dictionary of Lost Words by Pip Williams. And the quote is, "Some people feel better about themselves if they can pull others down a bit." And I mean, how many of us know people like this? Like, they're not happy unless they're bringing other people down a notch. And I think it speaks to the fact that there are inherently unhappy people out there who seek to snuff out other people's light to make themselves feel better. And I think that's really sad. And something that I always say is that I think everyone could benefit from therapy and working on their issues. And I feel like that's true because you know how people say that, like, you know, whatever someone says more about them than it does about you. And I feel like that's true. Like, when someone's lashing out and hurting someone else, it's usually because of something that's going on in their own life that they haven't processed or healed from yet. So go to therapy, people.
This just makes me think like social media.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, my next quote comes from Sparks Like Stars by Nadia Hashimi. It says, "You know, we're so damned afraid that talking about the ones we've lost will hurt us as much as losing them did. So we just stop talking about them, but that's when we truly lose them." And this is one of those quotes that I think becomes especially poignant when you've gone through a horrible process of grief and have lost somebody extremely close to you. You always hear how those of us on the other side of the grief and loss don't know what to say, and so they just don't say anything. And then the person who has been lost is just never spoke of again. But if you talk to anybody who has lost somebody like this, they will tell you that all they want is to continue hearing about their loved one. Like, they want to hear their name, they want to hear the memories. And so I think that this is just one of those really great reminders for us all.
All right, my next quote comes from Delicious by Ruth Reichel. And this is a book that I think Sarah and I didn't particularly care for, but I did appreciate this quote. And it says, "The difference between talking about it and doing it is doing it." And I feel like this one speaks for itself. Don't talk about it, be about it, Sarah.
Yes, sir. All right. Next, I have a few quotes from the book Cleopatra and Frankenstein by Coco Melores. So the first one is, "When the darkest part of you meets the darkest part of me, it creates light," which I think is beautiful. And then next, "People are like this too, you know," he says eventually. "We break. We put ourselves back together. The cracks are the best part. You don't have to hide them." The next quote is, "I'm so lonely, I could make a map of my loneliness. Sometimes I'm so lonely, I'm not even on that map." And then the last quote, "But the people who did get that love, they grew up to be different from us, more secure. Maybe they're not as shiny or successful as you and I feel we have to be. But it's not because they're not interesting. They just don't feel they have to do the tap dance, you know? They don't have to prove themselves all the time to be loved because they always were." And so I think a lot of this book is just kind of showing flaws in who we are as people and showing the brokenness and the grief and how you can heal or you can choose to just kind of sit in that too. And sometimes you just have to highlight quotes because the writing is so beautiful. And that's what this book was to me. I absolutely adored her writing. And even if I couldn't personally relate to the quotes, some of them stood out for me because of the way that she strung the words together.
Sounds really beautiful. I want to read that just for the quotes alone.
Yeah, I think that you'd like it.
All right, my last quote comes from Write for Life by Julia Cameron, and it says, "All of us can write. It's just that so many of us are afraid to put pen to page." And I feel like we can both attest to this as writers, and you know, also it's how we met based on the magazine that you started and Kindred and our whole writing community, and just being people who have helped other people write their stories. It's that fear holds so many of us back when it comes to writing, especially women, because we feel like, you know, we don't have the authority to say certain things, or that what we have to say doesn't matter, or everyone else has already talked about it. So who cares what my story is and that kind of thing. And this is just a reminder that everyone has a story. And if you can get over that fear, we encourage you to get over that fear and write it down.
All right, I have two final quotes, and they both come from the book The Door to Door Bookstore by Carsten Henn. The first one is, "I am so glad there are books in the world. I hope that's one thing that never changes," which, same. And then secondly, "Even when an extraordinary book ends at precisely the right point, with precisely the right words, and anything further would only destroy that perfection, it still leaves us wanting more pages. That is the paradox of reading." And I just had to end on a couple of my favorite quotes from this book since we're all book lovers here. I have no doubt that everybody listening agrees with these quotes wholeheartedly. Like, you know that feeling when you've just finished a book and you're like, "Oh my God, I want 1,000 more pages of this, but also please know you ended it perfectly." I love that idea. And that is, you know, when we find our perfect reading experiences. So I thought that was the perfect quote to end on.
I love it so, so much. That will do it for today's episode. Let us know some of your favorite quotes from books, and you can also find us on Instagram at Reading Through Life Pod, so come say hi.
And as always, we are wishing you 5-star book vibes. Until next time, bye. Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. And now is the time we ask you for a super quick favor.
Will you take a screenshot now, like right now, of this episode and share it with a friend or on social media? We can't begin to explain how much your shares help us find other book nerds.
Plus, isn't life just better with more book friends in your life?
We're sending you virtual hugs and 5-star book vibes.
Talk to you soon.